Dave and Darren's top five things. A delightful review. Some of what we got accomplished on the morning show that we do on Planet 93.9. Hello, friends. Hope you're doing well. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Hey, Darren, I didn't hear you come in.
Hello, everybody. The podcast today is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. You can order recreational items online from the Galesburg location order medicinal items online from the Milan location, both of those through Leafly, and both of those and all of that is through the website, and that's ntillinois.com.
Here's number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Yesterday on the show, we were talking about an article that suggests that peanut butter and pickle sandwiches are the snack of the summer for 2021. Peanut butter and pickles paired together. And the more we thought about it, I guess it would be an interesting combination. You have a couple of different things going on. It could work.
Now, you have a week of hot dogs. Right?
I do.
Starts today.
Tonight begins the week of hot dogs. Yes. I'll be eating nothing but hot dogs.
It's wiener week.
That's right. You know this is my busy wiener season. And it got me thinking about food pairings that are not traditional food pairings. There's a woman who is suggesting now an expert, by the way, a strawberry expert, who says you shouldn't put cream on strawberries.
Now, that's the big deal over at Wimbledon, right?
Right.
Or is it strawberries and cream or strawberries and champagne? Strawberries and cream.
Yeah, I think champagne is what you drink when you have your strawberries and cream at Wimbledon. This is someone who breeds strawberries for a living. Lucy Slatter is the head breeder at Ava Berries. All right. This is a woman who has dedicated her life to growing strawberries. Lucy Slatter, she says the ultimate topping, if you really want to bring out the flavor in strawberries this summer, The ultimate topping is Parmesan cheese.
Huh.
Now, see, these are two things that I enjoy very much separately. Never in a million years would I have thought to put them together. It's just like I like apple pie and I like cheddar cheese. I know there are people that swear that that's a combination that really works.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. It's something about the Parmesan that really makes the strawberry stand out.
Makes the strawberry flavor pop.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. She says it may seem a little eccentric to top strawberries with Parmesan cheese and pass on the cream, but if you're adventurous enough to give it a go, you will not regret it. Now the way she's doing it is this isn't like the Parmesan cheese in the green can from Kraft.
She's actually grating Parmesan cheese.
Fresh Parm.
Although I suppose the other would work.
Wow, that does look. I'm here to tell you, I think that works. I think just looking at it.
I mean, I know it's wiener week, but maybe you should go out and get some strawberries.
Well, I wouldn't kill me to get some vitamin C. You're right. Smelling strawberries is an important part of getting the most out of strawberries. As she says, strawberries have an incredibly complex flavor profile.
Of course, she's going to say that.
Well, yeah, right. She's in the strawberry business.
Hey, strawberry.
And they also says a mistake that a lot of us make with the strawberries is serving them too cold and washing them with cold water just before you eat them.
Yeah.
She says you do that, you're not going to get the best flavor out of strawberries. So clean them up. By all means, but don't eat them right out of the fridge and don't eat them when you've just doused them with cold water. Give them a minute to get up to room temperature. More weird food pairings.
Daryl.
Not that strawberry.
Daryl.
Ice cream and French fries. Now,
well, but people do that. I mean, you see that even on the McDonald's menu, where they're suggesting that you should be dipping your French fries
in
the shakes or, yeah.
I haven't seen that. I know people do that with Wendy's Frosties and have for years.
Uh-huh.
How about this? Chocolate and avocado pair well together. Avocado's creamy, buttery texture naturally lends itself to chocolate-flavored recipes. olive oil and ice cream, they suggest, is a good combination.
Mm.
And how about this? Coca-Cola and chicken. Wait for it. You're frying the chicken in Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I can see that. I know that we use like Coca-Cola like on a roast.
Really?
Yeah. If you're putting a roast in the oven, you cover it with a can of Coke or...
Recipes for cola chicken abundant for a reason. While most people are more familiar with soda in its drinkable form, there's something to be said for frying your chicken in Coke, too. If you think about it, it's a still salty-sweet combination, which is not much weirder than other sweet meat flavorings like teriyaki or sweet barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Another suggestion here says balsamic vinegar is great to top your strawberries with. Chocolate.
Well, it's strawberry season.
Chocolate and potato chips, banana and bacon, prosciutto and melon. Again, this is a lot of combining salty with sweet, which tends to work for me. You wrap prosciutto around a melon slice.
Sure.
And they say on a hot summer day, that's...
You get a good meal.
That's as good as it gets. How about this? Fried chicken, but you fry the chicken, you cook it in pickle brine. Apparently, that's what they do.
Works for me.
That's what they do at Chick-fil-A, apparently. They cook their chicken in pickle brine. The pickle brine will keep the chicken juicy without overpowering its natural flavor. Interesting.
Now, they use a little pressure cooking.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt. Watermelon and salt is something you've been talking about forever.
That's good.
You would think that the salt would dry out the watermelon, but they say here that the opposite is true. You've got a savory, sweet combination happening here, and they say a pinch of salt enhances the flavor.
It does. It brings out the flavor of the watermelon.
Of the watermelon's natural sweetness.
Yep.
And it makes the salt makes the watermelon somehow taste less bitter.
Number two.
Seth Rogen shared a story yesterday on Twitter that had people going, huh? It's a practical joke that was played on him by actor Paul Rudd.
Mm-hmm.
The details are, I'll read the tweet here from Seth Rogen. He says, once I was in the spa in a hotel in Vegas getting a massage. When I finished, I turned over, and to my shock, Paul Rudd was massaging me. He saw me go in and convinced the masseuse to let him take over, thinking that I would notice immediately.
Uh-huh.
I didn't, and Paul did the entire rest of it. People skeptical saying, were you high at the time that this happened? He says, I'm sure Paul would confirm it, and Paul Rudd did indeed confirm it, saying this is 100% true. That's a commitment to the prank.
Yeah, because, okay, I can see someone doing that as a prank.
Uh-huh.
But you don't ask to replace the masseuse right away.
Like the last 5 minutes, maybe. Also, I don't know if you're a masseuse, you should allow just anyone to come in and rub somebody for a practical joke.
I mean, you could.
Although you probably
get your license revoked for that sort of thing, right?
I would think.
I mean, isn't that like one of the big rules?
Although, if it's Seth Rogen and it's Paul Rudd, and you know, well, yeah. I assume maybe they're friends because they're famous people. That's a hell of a practical joke.
All famous people are friends.
They must be. Yeah, that just seems like, you know, massages are for like an hour, aren't they?
I don't know that I want to touch a naked Seth Rogen.
Well, it's just his back.
I mean, even it's just his back.
And his legs, and his butt area.
I think that's a hard pass.
And then just out of nowhere, I mean, the gimmick only works when you roll over and it's Paul Rudd massaging you, but you would think that he would have... This is what I would do. So, if I were Paul Rudd, I would do like weird stuff.
Yeah.
So you turn over and go, what the
hell
are you doing?
So it's over.
Right.
But apparently Paul Rudd is capable of passing himself off as a professional masseuse.
Apparently he's very talented in that regard. My favorite celebrity prank story of all time is George Clooney and Richard Kind. They lived together back in the day. Richard Kind and George Clooney were roommates back in the beginning of both their careers. And Richard Kind had a cat.
I don't know about a practical joke with a roommate.
This is one of my favorites. He says, Kind was working, and Clooney was waiting for an audition.
Uh-huh.
And he goes to the bathroom, and he realizes there is he's staying at Richard Kind's place for a while, okay? And he realizes there's a kitty litter box next to the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And Clooney looks in, and he sees that the cat has taken a dump in the kitty litter box.
Yeah.
So he decides to scoop it up and flush it down the toilet. And Clooney, every time he goes in the bathroom and sees that the cat has used the box,
he would throw it out.
He would scoop it up and flush it in the toilet. And he kept doing that. And this made Richard Kind very concerned, because whenever Richard Kind would go to the cat box,
the cat's never going to the bathroom.
Right, there's no poop in the kitty litter. So then Kind takes the animal to the veterinarian, takes the cat to the veterinarian. The vet gives him kitty laxatives. And Clooney says that makes the cat poop like 15 times a day. And he's just constantly going in there and scooping it out for the prank. And Richard Kind is getting more and more concerned.
Yeah, but now a cat is taking something it doesn't need to take.
Well, and then he realizes now that that's going on. He says a light bulb goes off, and I realize what I have to do. George Clooney takes a giant dump in the cat box. So there's just this huge, giant, human-size log in the kitty litter.
How is that a prank?
And Richard Kind is just losing his mind looking at the size of it. And then Kind puts two and two together and was not happy with George Clooney.
No. And now get out of my house. That's why you don't do pranks to roommates.
He says here that Richard was not happy.
Yeah.
He got madder and madder. And he said, quote, "I understand humor. Defecation does not make me laugh." I don't know. I think that's a commitment. Both of these pranks involve a commitment that I just don't think I would have. I think when I do practical jokes, I like him to be over in a couple of minutes.
What kind of practical jokes do you do?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't do practical jokes because they're kind of infuriating. You're right.
You're asking for it.
Right? I mean, you're right. You are asking for it. A practical joke is just really a way to go out of your way to infuriate someone that you know, right?
Yeah.
You can't do practical jokes on strangers.
No.
Practical jokes are usually you're setting up your friend to look foolish. Yeah,
you do a practical joke on a stranger,
you're going to get knocked out. Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Number three.
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 Three. Three.
Tampa Bay Lightning are NHL champs.
Yeah, we've crowned one of the major sports champs.
Mm-hmm. It's their second.
Season is over.
Second straight Stanley Cup. And now what they're doing is chopping up the ice from the rink, and they're going to use that ice to make beer. Coors Light, to be precise. Coors Light used ice collected from the rink during the Stanley Cup final to brew what they call Champions Ice,
oh,
a limited edition beer.
For good reason, it's limited.
It will be available on tap in the Tampa area.
Yeah, keep it there.
Starting next week, including on the day that the Lightning have their Stanley Cup parade.
If you can prove that you got hit in the head with something from the hurricane, then you can have a glass of beer.
To get the ice for the brewing process, Coors used the shavings collected by the Lightning ice crew in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final against the Montreal Canadiens. They then put the shavings in stainless steel hydro flasks and shipped them overnight to their brewery all the way in Golden, Colorado. The Lightning gave their blessing to Coors, which is the official beer of the team, to brew with the rink ice.
So this is kind of like the Kiss blood in the ink.
Well, it's grosser than that because I don't, you know, when.
Well, there's probably this much shavings in it.
Yeah, but do you know how much? Do you know how much body fluid is spit on the ice?
Yeah, I get it.
And not stuff to mention that oozes
contaminated skates.
Yes.
Yeah, there's probably this much shaved ice.
The Penguins and Blackhawks have bottled ice from the rink and sold it for charity. Coors Light, though, saying this is the first time that they're using actual ice from a Stanley Cup final game to make a beer. The marketing director for Coors Light says, "We thought it'd be awesome to celebrate with the people of Tampa by creating a special batch of Coors Light for them to enjoy, created from the ice where the Lightning put all of their blood, sweat, and tears into winning the championship." Yeah, blood, sweat, and tears, all right. That's in your beer now.
David Clayton Thomas is in our beer.
They say that the ice will go through all of their food and safety requirements.
They're using this much ice.
You think?
Yeah.
In order to turn it around quickly, they had to brew a high-gravity version of Coors Light. So that means it's going to be like 8% alcohol. And then they blend it down using the water collected from the rink. It takes a lot. I mean, you can't just turn around a Coors Light in a couple of days. The brewery produced a run of 55 half barrels of beer that will be distributed to Coors Light's accounts throughout Tampa. And they say they hope this unique brew brings Lightning fans to bars and other establishments that are still rebounding from the hit they took during the pandemic. My family's going to be in Tampa for this. I will not.
They go into the parade?
I doubt it. I can't see that.
The championship parade?
I don't know.
I can see it. I can see we... tune in to ESPN and there's Swagoo with the cup.
You know what? I would be surprised, but not shocked.
Yeah. Sitting in the cup.
What is he doing?
Number four.
Oh, boy.
Here he is, the Quad City's favorite joke-telling monkey puppet. Ladies and gentlemen, one hand against another makes a lovely noise for Spank the joke-telling monkey puppet.
Yes, we know it sounds a little funky, but here on the radio we have our own monkey.
What's going on, losers?
Now, I thought that you had left the country for some reason.
It's true.
And was having trouble getting back in.
I had a hell of a time getting back in. It wasn't easy. But I'm here.
Where were you?
I was in Tokyo.
Ah.
Getting ready for the big Olympic
Games.
Well,
I know that you always have Olympic fever, and how many Olympics has it been that you basically play the Olympic Village late night?
Yeah, well, that's been the plan the last couple of Olympics, but yeah. this one, let's just say Olympic fever is part of the reason I was asked to leave.
Okay.
Didn't quite work out.
No. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, it's a real shame because I learned Japanese so I could do my shtick over there.
Oh, yeah? Such as?
Huh?
Yeah, like, give us a little bit.
Oh, what?
That's not Japanese.
No, that's Babel.
You're Babel. Your face is Babel. No, you say like, mushy mushy, everybody. Who's ready to laugh?
Not a lot of that was in Japanese.
Spank. Stop. I think mushy mushy is what you say when you're on the phone, too.
Yeah,
I don't think,
when you say hello on the phone.
I don't think you would say that to a crowd of live people.
Oh, well, I learned something new today, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I learned like kimono and samurai and all kinds of junk.
Well, you got a good fix on it then.
Yeah, I was starting to get it really dialed in. And I was,
Then you were asked to leave, huh?
And they the Olympic fever, I tell you, those people, they take your temperature way too much.
Hmm.
And, you know, as a puppet, it's not really my fault if I have an elevated temperature, right?
Well, you've got a lot of fur, I would imagine.
But there's that, yeah. But yeah, it was. Oh, anyway,
you're probably always kind of a little bit warm.
There's a knock on my door, and they're like, "Spank, son, you need to leave."
But you said that. Well, you'd worked up some new stuff though for Tokyo.
Oh, and my God,
that's not going to happen.
No, I had this material ready to go for the Olympic Village.
Yeah.
As you know, my stuff plays great around the world.
Internationally,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's right. I'm something of an international sensation.
Well, I guess you can look on the bright side, and you've got a whole new act then. You've got new stuff you can share with us.
For example.
Yeah, exactly, for example.
The post office is in the news lately.
Oh, yeah?
What?
Yeah, all the time. There's this guy that, he works at the post office. And this guy's job at the post office is he has to read all the mail the way they can't understand what the address is. It's like illegible.
Uh-huh. Right.
And this letter comes in. They give it to them. They're like, "We can't figure out what the hell this is." The handwriting's like super shaky, you know, like really bad. And
almost erratic.
Yeah, like a crazy person wrote it. And he decides, well, you know... I guess I should open this to see what the letter's about, because I can't figure it out looking at it, you know? And the handwriting's not much better on the inside of the letter, but he is able to read it.
Uh-huh.
And the letter says, "Dear God, I am an 83-year-old widow living on a very small pension. Yesterday, somebody stole my purse. I had $100 in it, which was all the money I had until the next Social Security check comes."
Mm-hmm.
"Next Sunday is Christmas, and I invited two of my friends over for dinner. Without that money, I got nothing to buy food with. I have no family to turn to, and Lord, you are my only hope. Can you please help me? Sincerely, Edna."
Mm-hmm.
Well, his postal worker was so touched. He goes around showing the letter to other people at the post office, and each one of them goes into their wallet, comes up with a couple of bucks. And by the time he made his way out around the post office, he collected $96, which they put into an envelope and sent to the woman. And the rest of that day, everybody at the post office felt a warm glow, thinking about Edna and the dinner she'd be able to share with their friends. Christmas came and went. And a couple days later, another letter came from the same old lady, addressed to God. All the workers gathered around, and while the letter was open, he read it out loud, and it said, "Dear God, how can I ever thank you enough for what you did for me? Because of your gift of love, oh Lord, I was able to fix a glorious dinner for my friends. We had a nice day, and I told my friends of your wonderful gift. By the way, it was $96. There was $4 missing. I think it must have been those bastards at the post office." Whammo!
They're thieves.
Guy's sitting at home all by himself. There's a knock at the door, and it's a cop. Officer says, "Sir, are you married?" Fella says, "Yes, I am." And then the officer says, "Well, do you have a recent picture of your wife?" And guy says, "Sure. Hold on a second." Cop looks at the picture, and in a sad voice, he says, "Oh, man, I'm really sorry. But it looks as if your wife has been hit by a train."
Oh, no.
The guy says, "Yeah, I know, but she's got a good personality." Whammo!
She's a dog. Not attractive.
Divorced women are in the news a lot these days.
They are.
A newly divorced woman decides to go to a popular bar. It's on the top floor of a posh 10-story building. She just got divorced. She wants to see if she still has, you know, what it takes to get the guys to buy her drinks. She sees this handsome, well-dressed guy. He appears pretty mild-mannered, quietly sitting at the bar alone and patiently sipping his drink. She makes her way over and tries to start up a conversation with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "What are you drinking?" The guy says, "Oh, this is magic beer."
Magic beer?
Yeah. Her divorce had just become final. And she hadn't been single for very long, but she'd never heard of magic beer.
Mm-mm.
So before she starts to flirt, she begins having second thoughts. She thinks this guy's got a couple screws loose.
Yeah, magic beer.
So she smiles, she bats her eyes. She begins making her way around the bar, hoping to find another good-looking guy to flirt with. Nobody else was worth talking to, though. So she decides to go back to the guy, and she says, "Hey, that beer, is it really magic beer?" You know? This guy adjusts his thick black eyeglasses, and he laughs out loud. He goes, "Yeah, I'll show you. I'll show you just how magic it is." Takes a big gulp of the beer, gets off his bar stool, and then he opens a window there on the 10th floor. Jumps out the window, flies around the building 3 times before returning through an open window.
Wow.
Well, this woman can't believe what she's seen. She says, "I bet you can't do that again." Guy says, "Oh, yeah?" Takes another sip of the beer, jumps out the window, flies around the building 3 more times, and come right through the open window, just like he did a couple minutes earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is just absolutely amazed. She says, "I got to get a magic beer for myself." So this guy motions to the bartender. He says, I got this." And he turns to the woman, and he says, "The first one's on me." So the bartender pours a beer into a glass, puts it on a coaster in front of her. She thanks the guy and the bartender, and she's thrilled because, one, she realizes she still got it. Mm-hmm. She can still flirt and get a free drink, especially after being married for all those years. She takes one sip of the magic beer, gets up off her bar stool, and proceeds to jump out the open window, just like the guy did.
Yeah.
She plummets 10 stories to her death. Bartender pours another beer, begins shaking his head in disbelief, and says, "You know what? Superman, after you've had a couple beers, you're a real a-hole."
I knew it with the glasses.
Whammo. That was a foreshadowing.
That's right.
I think that's what foreshadowing is.
What do you know? See, that would have been great.
That would have been great at the Olympics.
And then I would have said,
"Everyone loves Superman."
And then I would have said, "Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto," and bowed a couple times.
Yeah.
And that would have been my set.
That would have been it.
And now I'm here with you knuckleheads. Mm. Ah, well.
No gold medal.
It's like the French say.
What do they say?
Surrender. Mm. I'm having fun. See, I had all this stuff, all these jokes from all around the world.
Sure,
all the different
countries.
Exactly. I was going to do like a crowd work, say you're an Olympian. Hey, what country are you from?
Me? I'm from England.
England? Yeah, I thought so. You smell bad. Whammo!
Yeah, that'd have been dynamite.
Hey, how about you, sir? You look like a big weightlifter. What country are you from?
I'm from Russia.
Russia? I bet so. You smell like crap. Whammo!
Yeah, that'd have been great.
That would have killed! I could have entertained people from all around the world. Oh, you, what are you, honey? Are you like a gymnast? What country are you from?
I'm from Romania.
I didn't have to ask. You smell like garbage. And so on.
You'd have been a real hit.
Yeah, it would have been great. Uh-huh. But, instead.
Maybe next 4 years. Maybe in 3 years.
Here's hoping.
Or I guess what? Maybe you only have to wait two for what? Is it one that we have to wait for the Winter Olympics?
I got the Winter Olympics next year.
Yeah,
so.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll be good.
That stuff will still be fresh.
Hey, the bobsled team guy.
Yeah.
What country are you from?
Switzerland.
Switzerland? You smell like Swiss garbage. That's what we call it in the business. Crowd work.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, guys, I gotta go. Not really. I got nowhere to be. Thanks to the stupid Olympics getting canceled.
Well, just get back up here on your little stand and just...
All right. Then it's good
to be... We'll call on you next time.
I'd say it's good to be back, but, you know.
I know.
All right. Later, losers.
Number five.
We're in the middle of summer right now.
Yep.
It'll be back to school before you know it.
Are the ads out yet?
Generally, like after the 4th of July is when they start
pretty quick
rolling out the Trapper Keepers and protractors and whatnot. Although I don't think they sell Trapper Keepers.
Time to get your super glue.
Exactly. Get your list, and then you'll know exactly what your teachers want you to have this year.
Yes. What do you need to put in your pencil box?
Exactly. It's not unheard of when school is in session for kids to try and figure out ways to stay home, right? I mean, everybody has done that, right? You you act sick because you just don't feel like going in. You don't feel like going to school. So you say, oh, my tummy hurts.
Yeah,
or,
sometimes you're in fifth grade and you need a mental health day.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I think that's... and
that's sound medicine.
Right. Like, I've tried to have an environment where my kid can just say, I need a day. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with just saying I need a day. Let's not have any of the deception.
Now, that doesn't mean once a week.
No. And he's never taken us.
I thought Thursday's my day.
He's never taken us up on the offer.
I like to break up the week.
Well, yeah, right. I got the Johnny Carson deal. I don't go in on Mondays or Tuesdays. So it's always, I mean, it's a tale as old as time, isn't it? Children trying to figure out ways to get out of going to school. In my day, there was the putting a penny in your mouth, and that would somehow throw off the thermometer, right?
Huh.
You ever do that?
I thought you put the thermometer up by the light.
That was another thing you could do, although the problem with that is sometimes your temperature is 111.
120 degrees.
Yeah, and then they're taking you to the emergency room. And
I didn't want to be here.
No.
I just wanted to go back to sleep.
No. My plan was to just lay on the couch and watch The Price is Right, maybe a little Press Your Luck. Now I'm having IVs inserted into my arm. This backfired. Children are now learning ways to spoof the coronavirus tests.
Oh, brother.
They have these things called the LFT. That's the lateral flow test. And kids have figured out a way to trick it using soft drinks. There's a school in Liverpool over in the UK that wrote a letter to parents to warn them about this. There are videos online where kids are learning on TikTok and YouTube how to use fruit juices, cola, and other drinks to fool the tests into giving a fake positive result for coronavirus. You open up an LFT device, there's a strip of paper-like material. It's called nitrocellulose. And then there's a small red pad hidden underneath the plastic casing below the T-line. Absorbed on the red pad are antibodies that bind to the COVID-19 virus. They're also attached to gold nanoparticles, tiny particles of gold which actually appear red, which allow you to see where the antibodies are on the device. So when you do a test, you mix your sample with a liquid buffer solution. It's like a strip where you do a quick dip and you see whether or not you have it. And kids have learned that if they have a little bit of Coke in their mouth or some fruit juice, right, that will somehow trick the test into saying that there are, you got the COVID-19. You can use orange juice or cola to get a false positive result. And then you get to stay home for a long time. And the fact that you don't have any symptoms isn't going to make your parents suspicious because, well, frankly, you're grateful that your kid has it but has no symptoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is something kids are doing now. Highly acidic drinks, fruit juices and colas to trick the test into thinking that you have a coronavirus. It's kind of ingenious.
Yeah, but let's just stick with I got a case of diarrhea.
Come on, kids, grow up.
I wonder if the kids down in Liverpool, Illinois, are doing this as well. Population 129.
Well, I'm going to guess not.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's it for this installment episode of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thanks for downloading it, listening to it, subscribing. Darren, thanks for doing it with me.
Yeah, well, thank you for showing up as well. The podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois, Tech Drive in Milan.
I don't have anywhere else to be.
And West Main Street in Galesburg.
I got nowhere else to go!
Milan is open every day. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on,
and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Sorry, I jumped the gun there.
What?
Hang loose, kooks.
Yeah, hang loose, kooks, and you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
So long, Screwy. See you in St. Louis.
Oh, we are the boys of the chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.